Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 621. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, the co-host of the show, let's start with Paris.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's going on, man? Christmas is coming up, man. New Year's. Hope you're ready for the vacation, man.
Yeah, so quick story. I got I'm going to say this slightly quiet, even though you should be asleep. I got the NES Classic. I used BrickSeek and NowInStock.com, and I stood out in front of Target at 3:30 in the morning earlier this week, and I was second in line. They only had five, so I got one. And Nintendo, you're literally throwing money away because, like I said, they had five. There was probably about 30 people, like at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, that were driving up, going, "Hey, do they have more?" Like, nope, they only got five, and they drove away because they're throwing money away. There's parents out there trying to get the stupid thing and they can't. And look at the extremes that we got to go through. Like the person that was ahead of me, she got in line at 12:30 at night.
Oh, just, my God.
Just to make, because she said she every night she's been trying to get one and striking out. So she just said, screw it. And just got up, like literally just camped out overnight to make sure she got the thing.
Is it for her or for the fam?
For her kids. But that's the point. It ain't like, you know, these grown ass people trying to get it for themselves or trying to get it for their kids. Cause this is like literally the number one toy. That and Hatchimals is the number one toy this holiday. Right. So they're trying to get these things and they didn't make enough of them. It's like, what were you thinking, Nintendo? Seriously? I don't get it.
I think it was on purpose.
At this point, I don't think it was on purpose because people are scrambling trying to get this thing for Christmas and they just simply don't have enough in stock. You would like at first I thought, oh, maybe they're just holding it back to create hype. But dude, we're like a couple weeks away from Christmas and people still can't get it. It's crazy.
Well, I heard the latest rumor, Best Buy is going to receive at least a big chunk of the NES editions on December 20th. Don't know if it's true or not, but for those that are listening and would like to get this system for their kids or for themselves, make sure to call Best Buy to see if it's true or not. And just be there early, December 20th.
Yeah, and think about that. 5 days before Christmas. That's, come on.
Ridiculous.
As a parent who's been through these wars the past decade or so, it's like you can't last minute something like that. Nintendo, whoever was in charge of that, estimating how many they would sell this holiday, just they should be fired. Seriously. how could you underestimate the popularity of this thing? I don't know.
And also Pete in the house.
I was waiting. I was just waiting, honestly, for you to just like continue with the show and not just even giving me the intro. No, I think Nintendo is completely doing this on purpose. They're creating the buzz. They're creating the lack of inventory specifically to continue to create buzz about this and keep them relevant moving into January, February, March as the hype goes insane for Switch.
But see, okay, you just said it. See, I disagree because they got the Switch coming and they've already said they're going to talk about it in January. So you don't need to undersell the Classic to build hype for the Switch, which you're going to talk about in a month anyways. I don't know. Look, the fact that I was up, I had to set my alarm at 3 o'clock in the morning and check a stupid website. Oh, crap, they got five. Let me go. And I stood in line for 3:30 in the morning. I'm just salty, but I'm always salty. So I guess it's not new.
Hey, Paris, how that website works, though?
It basically you just put in the whatever the stock number is for the device, and then you put in your zip code, and it'll bring up all the local stores within a certain radius to you, and it'll show you what they have in stock. You know, and the reason that you do it like after midnight because they unload the trucks and then they scan in what they have. So, like I said, I was like, all right, let me get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I saw the Target close to me had five of them. I went up there. Like I said, I was second in line. And sure enough, one of the night managers came out and confirmed that, yep, they had five. So it was 100% accurate.
We know they're doing it on purpose because, you know, they're just making money hand over fist with people waiting over. And I don't understand why they would just limit inventory. They're just throwing, like Paris says, they're throwing money out the window by doing it. if you had the opportunity to get more pairs, would you just for the resale concept?
Okay. Okay. Well, that brings me to another rant. There's a lot of people along with this NES and this Hatchimal stuff, these scalpers that are going out hoarding them because, you know, you look on some of like Facebook has like their local exchanges where you can sell stuff. Yep. And I see people in my area selling like the NES and the Hatchimals for like $200-$300. And I'm like, oh, I got an extra one that I don't need. So I want to sell it. And then you just see, read the comments. All these parents are just pissed off because, you know, why should I have to spend basically this extortion price to get something for my kid for Christmas? It's stupid. You know,
but at the same time, I know people are blaming them, the people that are reselling these, but I'm blaming more to the company, Nintendo, the ones that are actually making this harder, you know? So
no, I 100% agree. It's hard because Nintendo and whatever company makes the Hatchimals didn't make enough. If they were on store shelves and a parent could just simply walk in and buy one, there wouldn't be this issue. You wouldn't go to eBay right now and see these things for $300 versus, you know, it's like a $60 item and it's selling for $300. Nintendo should be ashamed of themselves for understocking this. That's all I'm saying. As a parent, I'm saying this. They should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
But Paris, I know that wasn't your last time that you were in line. Weren't you like at a different store and then you gave up? You're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going home.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I could have sworn you, I think you were at Best Buy or Target, but you said there was people already lined up there that you were like, all right, let me go next time. They have
No. Okay. Yeah. See, you got to switch right. Look, stop looking at my Twitter line.
He doesn't read.
I know. Jokes aside. No, what you're thinking of last Sunday, because Target, you got a bunch of them, right? And they kind of fat kids deals, put it out on Twitter, and I saw some other people. So a lot of people knew that Target was going to have a bunch last Sunday. So I was like, oh, well, let me see if I can go there. I happened to drive by at 10 o'clock at night. There was already like 25 people camped out at 10 o'clock at night, the night before. I was like, screw this. I'm not getting up in the middle of the night and not get one. So I just passed on it. And that's why I wound up just waiting to the middle of the week and getting one from Target.
I've never thought like in a million years that a popular 1985 system would be so popular in 2016.
Yeah. and to the snarky people on Instagram and Twitter, when I had posted a picture, I got one thing and I got it for myself. No, I got it for my kids, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to be excited about this for probably the first couple days and then they'll never touch it again. I already know it's going to happen.
Yeah. So I feel doubly bad for the parents who have just spent $250 on Facebook stores or, you know, going through Craigslist and trying to find someone for that thing to be just, you know, like a paperweight, you know, like less than a month after Christmas.
I think well, let's ask Danny. Danny, are you still playing your classic? What are you playing on it?
Yeah, I'm playing Ninja Gaiden. I really don't play the other games. And Jenny here and there will play like the Mario games and that's about it. So, but see, I know my cousin, she bought it for her kids, but her husband playing it more than her kids. I mean, they've been playing it together. I think they've been waiting for like an extra controller. Or I think an extra extension cord, because right now they only have one controller. So, but they play a lot. I mean, but lately I've been playing more on my current consoles because, you know, I'm trying to finish. Well, I already finished the Dead Rising 4 game. And also, I've been playing a lot of Timefall 2 lately.
See, that makes sense for Danny because Danny only paid $60. So in that respect, it's like he didn't lose out on that value to money type concept. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he went out and spent $150-$200 and got it. You know, I guess the 2016 method, right? Which is just, you know, find out whoever's just selling it and just pay the overprice for it. But yeah, I'd be more salty than normal, right? If I went out of my way to spend, you know, to find a way to get this in the hands of my kids and they didn't appreciate it. That's like, I want it, but not to that extent where I'm going to be spending, you know, $200 to get it when hell I hardly, you know, play whether it's my PS4 or the Emerald, or, you know, unless I'm playing Civ 6 over the last, you know, 3 weeks, but I hardly play it as it is right now. So.
All right. So I know we're talking a lot about Nintendo, but, have you guys got to see the Nintendo at, Jimmy Fallon?
Yep.
Show? They were promoting, two games, actually one game. They were promoting Super Mario Run, which is coming up for to the iOS devices, and they also had the premiere Nintendo Switch, and they showed Zelda for the first time on the console. So what are your thoughts about this? And Paris, I know you mentioned that Reggie seems, for the past few years, he's getting a little robotic. You think it was the same too for this one?
Yeah, I thought it was the same. Because it was funny, when I watched it, I was thinking about what I said on the podcast last week. I was like, yeah, dude, he's turning into a robot, man. He's just very follow the script. He's not, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not, I want to say dynamic, but you know what I'm trying to say. He's not spontaneous. That's the word I'm looking for. Sorry. He's not very spontaneous. It's like literally his PR people gave him a script and he follows it to a T, and then he's done. That's it. Yeah.
Sees all motor functions. Yep.
But I know you guys, both of you guys, have the iOS devices. Do you see trying out this game? Because you could download it for free, but if you want to unlock the whole game, you have to pay, I believe, $9.99.
I'll get it. Yep. I won't lie. I'll get it just because, you know, A, it's Nintendo / Mario, and that's just going to bring me back to, you know, being a kid and... sneaking open the gifts that I got for Christmas so I could play Nintendo and putting them back late at night before my parents woke up. But yeah, I'll get it. Will it take me away from what I was normally doing like Pokemon Go did? I don't know.
And you, Paris?
I have no interest in it, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. There you go. Paris don't care.
And it's funny. I was at the mall yesterday. I even walked into the Apple store because I was looking actually for something else, and I saw it on one of the, you know, because you can play it now at the Apple store. If you walk in, you can actually play it. And I walked in, I saw it. I was like, okay. And I just walked away. It wasn't like I ran in and I had to check it out. I didn't have any major interest to go running in and get my hands on it to experience it.
Yeah, and let me clarify. It's not that I have zero interest in it. I have no interest in paying money for it. I'll put it that way.
Okay. But see, I think that this is going to sell a lot, and it's going to help Nintendo to promote the brand. And at the same time, maybe this will help to, you know, spread the word about the Nintendo Switch once it comes out. Because this year alone, you know, Pokemon Go has been very successful. This one is going to be very successful. And I believe they're going to be releasing... two more games next year from Nintendo to the mobile devices. So I think that's gonna help them big time. All right, very quick, guys. Pete had to go somewhere very quick. Hopefully, we'll join us next time. So, Pete, shout out to you, man. Shout out to you. All right. So, Paris. Any thoughts about the Nintendo Switch? They did mention that they're gonna have a press conference January 12th. And it looks a little bit different, I think. Not as much, but, you know, compared to the Wii U version. What are your thoughts about the Zelda game?
Because I was saying, like, last week, I kind of wanted to see performance-wise how it would be on the Switch versus, you know, on the Wii U and everything. But I got to admit, seeing it on Jimmy Fallon and just seeing how... Look, if it is as plug-and-go... as they showed it, where they were playing it on the screen, you literally just pull the Switch out and you can keep on playing that game. It's almost a no-brainer. You might as well just get the Switch version versus the Wii U version. Now, the other question I have is, when is this thing coming out? Because the rumors say it's not going to be at launch, and they did nothing on Jimmy Fallon to dissuade that. So I'm just going to assume for the moment that the rumors are true and it won't be available day one of the Switch. And it'll be probably around E3 time, maybe right before E3, yeah. Something like that.
I see you that. Know?
You know, yeah. They got to have a strong, they got to have Mario at launch then at a minimum. They got to have something big at launch to make people want to pick this up other than the gimmick that it's, you know, it's a console and also a mobile device. And we also got to see the battery life thing because, you know, we heard about that rumor of only 3 hours. We got to have more than 3 hours for it being mobile. It just has to be. You know, because if it's only 3 hours, then it's really not a mobile device so much so. Like maybe it's something you could take on your commute. And as soon as you get to the office or whatever, you got to plug that thing and start charging it again. It's not like the 3DS. Well, even the original 3DS, the battery. Remember, the battery on that one was pretty low as well. And then they improved it over time. But yeah, we still got some questions that need to be answered in January. So I'm definitely looking forward to it because I'm very intrigued by the Switch and to just see. There's got to be some things about it that we just don't know yet. So I'm very curious to see what those things will be. And I want to know what that launch lineup is going to be. I got to have Mario. And I need something that is at least a spiritual successor to Galaxy because I so badly want a new Galaxy. I've been waiting, Nintendo. Help me.
Help me. Help. No, but I think that was cool for them to show off the system for those that never seen it before. They probably never seen the trailer on YouTube. And at the same time, everybody knows about Zelda. So for the Wii U. So this was like a way for the conversation to keep on going until January 12th, once they officially announce the Nintendo Switch and all the games and prices and price and all the launch games that's coming out in March. So I think it was cool. I think it was really, really cool, man. And Jimmy Fallon was pretty excited about it, man. So he's a gamer, and a lot of companies always go to his show to promote like their products and stuff like that. So
you know what's funny about Jimmy Fallon? I guess the next night he was at a basketball game or something, and someone captured video of him. The person next to him, he's literally describing the Switch. You could tell the way his motions were. Like he's like, dude, you pull it out and then you just start playing. So he was truly excited about it. The fact that he was talking about it in a public venue the next day like that. So like
wait,
I said,
somebody recorded that? Somebody recorded that?
Yeah, you couldn't hear what he was saying, but just his movements, you could tell he was describing the Switch. It was so apparent he was describing the Switch and the way that it worked. So that was kind of cool to see that. You know, it wasn't just for TV that he was excited about it. He's, you know, at a basketball game the next day, also excited about it as well. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing all the bells and whistles of this thing.
That's awesome, man. Cool. All right, very quick, before we go to our Dead Rising 4 review and also fan mail, Paris, the NPDs just came out for November. And, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I know there's been questions sent to us. People were asking, you know, is it possible for PlayStation to win because of the whole PlayStation 4 and so on? And I think I did mention that I think it was going to be Xbox based on the marketing and the ads everywhere. But actually, it was Sony that sold more during the month of November. Was it because of the Slim? Was it because of PlayStation 4 Pro? A lot of people think the reason why they became number one was because PlayStation 4 Pro sold more. But I personally think it was because of the PlayStation 4 Slim. It's because it's, the price is really, really cheap. It's $250 right now, which I think is going to happen next year. The same thing with Microsoft once they release Scorpio. It's going to be the same exact thing. That the current console, the current version is going to sell more. What are your thoughts about, very quick, about the NPDs during the month of November?
Didn't surprise me along the lines of what you were saying is the fact that the Pro was the a quote unquote new console that did 4K that was going to boost PlayStation 4 sales. I mean, look at me. I got a Pro. So I was an owner of a you had people that already had a PS4 that decided they wanted to upgrade to the Pro. So you got that. Then you got new people coming in. And obviously we saw all the crazy deals during Black Friday for the PlayStation 4 and even the Xbox One. So not surprising, because when you look at the numbers, it was pretty close. And the fact that the Pro was this new piece of hardware obviously put PlayStation over the edge when it came to that. Not to mention the Pro. If you were smart shopper, you could get that for $350 during Black Friday. So I'm sure that helped as well.
I mean, the numbers, people really don't know the true numbers because they haven't been revealed yet out there. Only those with MPDs. I believe retail stores are the only ones that actually know, and also the companies, video game companies. So, but yes, a little birdie told us that it was very, very close. So I think it's overall, it's great for the industry. So keep it up with the competition. And what's going to happen is we're going to see more deals, more competition between Microsoft and Sony. And at the end, that's going to help us, the consumers, if we decide to buy more games or more consoles in the future. So keep it up. That's great for us, man.
Absolutely.
Keep it up. Yeah. So right now, we're going to play the review of Dead Rising 4. And once we come back, fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
I was getting a medal from the president. When I went to go shake his hand, I tripped and kind of punched him. In the neck.
In the neck?
I tripped.
You sucker punched the president in the neck?
You just love making me look like an asshole, don't you? You know, you should have been a tabloid journalist.
Oh, screw you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Touchy subject. Both your parents were killed by tabloid journalists.
Ha-ha.
Where are we going anyway?
Just hear me out.
You said we were going to go play mini golf.
Respectfully, Professor, I can't actually believe you fell for that.
I love mini golf.
Yeah. Listen. There's this secret military base.
Oh, please, not another website conspiracy.
It's not.
All right, so I'm going to be reviewing Dead Rising 4. This game was developed by Capcom Vancouver, published by Microsoft Game Studios. Frank West, he is back. Yes, he is back. So basically, Frank West comes back to the main city from the original game. And this time it takes place during Christmas season. And this sequel to the original takes place 16 years after the events of the first game and a year after the events of Dead Rising 3. Remember in the original game, there was time limit, 90 more. Capcom decided to remove that, and I believe they're going to be adding that to the other future games and Dead Rising. And honestly, I didn't really miss it. It didn't bother me at all. And the good thing is I took my time to search for like items and walk around the open world area. There was like a lot of side quests. The original game, I had a blast with it, but the thing is I was very frustrated with the whole timing system. I didn't like that at all. It's cool at first, but I want to enjoy to search and find items instead of just focusing too much on doing everything so fast and just be out and so on. So thank you, Capcom, for making that decision. I think it was a great decision. And honestly, I don't miss it at all. Here's a couple of brand new gameplay features that is in the game. Now, character level has doubled. Now, instead of all the way to, like right now, I finished the game. I'm on level 53. But guess what? You could go back in the game. And you could level up all the way to 100. Like I said before, time limit is completely gone in the game now. And Frank West now could use his camera. And there's a night vision now in the game that you could use that in different like dark areas. And it will help you to investigate for the main story or to find like extra side missions and so on. You could also take selfies, which is pretty cool. Will help you to get like better grades and so on. And so I unlocked a lot of achievements with that. So take advantage of that. And one thing I do have to mention is you could also collect podcasts. There's 12 episodes of a main podcast that helps you learn more about the story and the side missions and so on. There's 12 podcasts throughout the whole city. And go out there and collect, man. So that so far already I only have like two. So I think it's cool that Capcom is also promoting podcasts. So that's a very, very cool thing coming from them. One of the things that the people have been complaining about is that Capcom hired a brand new voice actor for Frank West. And honestly, at first it was kind of weird, but honestly, I really like this character, man. I like the voice actor. I think he did a pretty good job. And the game is very, very entertaining. Throughout the game, I wasn't bored. I was very, I was having a blast playing the game from start to finish. But the game it does have some issues. You know, one of the things that really bothers me when I was playing the game is sometimes you're surrounded by items, and sometimes I would like to maybe pick up one item, and eventually it picks up something else, and it was just a pain. But it didn't really kill my experience. I was having a blast throughout the whole time, but those are the issues that I were having here and there in the game. So back in the days when Dead Rising originally came out for the Xbox 360, one of the things that people were having issues was like the saving process in the game. Remember, you have to go to like a bathroom in the mall, and then it eventually will save. This one will save automatically. There's different checkpoints depending where are you in the game, and it will just save automatically. So you don't have to worry about that at all. I've been having a blast because I've been collecting a lot of items, a lot of brute plants that will help me to like build new weapons and so on. I don't know. I personally love this game. Is this game perfect? No, but I think there's a lot more good than bad. So I originally finished the game and I got a little bit worried because once the credits came on and anything, I couldn't go back to the game how I originally thought it was going to be, with everything, you know, open. I found all my weapons and everything. So now you have to start the game. You have to put it as a new game. But what happens, everything that you have from your previous game save, it's already there in the game. And all your weapons, your points, your level, everything is still there. But this time, you're basically starting the story all over again. But everything is there saved. So that's pretty cool. But I would love next time for me to just go back instead of starting from scratch with the whole story and everything like that. So, and yes, this game also have multiplayer feature where you could go online, play with other with three other players. And there's like side missions that you do. So it's like, let's say episode one, there's episode two and so on. So you will pick a character and you will work with other people to find items in the game. You would be trapped in the mall. Let's just say, okay, I want you to kill 25 zombies or collect certain amount of items. And so everybody has to work together and find these items within a certain amount of time and then go back to the safe house. And from there, if you achieve this between everybody, it will help you to level up in the game and so on. So I had a lot of fun in the game, but you playing the multiplayer. But to me, what the game is like the most fun is just playing the main campaign. I had a lot of fun playing Dead Rising 4. You know, at first I was kind of like, is this game is going to be good or not? But honestly, I think Capcom Vancouver did a pretty good job, man. Just to keep it, you know, old school with Dead Rising. And they did a pretty good job with the story, with the new characters, everything. There's a couple of twists in the game too. And not only that, but there's a lot of items to collect. And there's so many things you could build, so many weapons, so many cars. And I think they did a great job, man. Shout out to Capcom Vancouver for creating this game. And you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to play this all over again, man. So, you know, for more information about this, go to the official Capcom or Dead Rising 4 website. And honestly, I highly recommend to get this game for the Xbox One or Windows 10. Oh, one thing I do want to mention that this game is not Xbox Anywhere. I repeat, this is not Xbox Anywhere. So if you download this on Xbox One, you're not going to get a free copy on Windows 10. I believe Microsoft and Capcom announced this months and months ago. So I don't want people to be confused about that. But you can purchase the game for Windows 10 or for Xbox One. Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a happy new year. Take
it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Paris, we have fan mail. You ready? Ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have two voicemails and we have a couple emails here. So which one we should start? Let's see. Let's go with Lauren, because she's been trying to call the voicemail for a while, but she's been having issues with the line. So let's play this right now.
Hey, Gamer Tag Crew, it's Lauren from Mississippi. My question for y'all guys is, do y'all think that gamers are very unforgiving when it comes to certain companies or certain games? My example is like Watch Dogs and Titanfall 2. They both didn't do well in the sales that they thought they were initially going to get. I mean, both games seem fantastic. I know I've had fun with the Titanfall 2's multiplayer and even the story. I've even seen gameplays on Watch Dogs 2, and it looks like they finally fixed everything that was wrong with Watch Dogs 1. But why is nobody getting on board on these games? I mean, both games are fantastic, but the sales-wise are just not what they're supposed to be. So my question for y'all is, why do you think that is? Do you think us as gamers are just so unforgiving, or that we're so hard at like giving up that $60 that for a brand new game, which I know is hard. And also it's the holiday season. So I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on that, and I hope y'all have a happy holiday. Thanks, guys.
All right, Paris, Lauren, Destiny fan. Shout to her, man. So what were your thoughts, man?
I agree with her in that. Yeah. Here's the thing. When you, and this kind of goes back to the stuff we've been saying the past few weeks, when you have a sequel to a game like Watch Dogs or a sequel to a game like Titanfall, where, you know, it they did okay, but then the reception for them were a little underwhelming. So when you come into the sequel, don't drop those kind of games into the holiday season, because people, again, holiday, you know, you only have so much money you can spend. You're going to be super picky with the games that you get, right? And we're seeing this play out right now. The sales for Titanfall 2 have been very underwhelming. The sales for Watch Dogs 2 have been underwhelming. These games would have been better off to release in the spring or the summer, so they had room to breathe, you know, get that positive buzz going, and then the sales numbers could reflect that, because they weren't going up against the competition of all the other big IPs that were coming out. So I do think gamers can be very unforgiving to sequels to games that weren't smash hits. It's just because we have to be careful with our money. It's just bottom line. I mean, you know, we're obviously in a position where we get the games for review, and, you know, we don't worry so much about those things. So if we like the game the first time, we'll go pick it up. But the average consumer does not think that way. They're like, this game I didn't like so much, or I heard that the first game wasn't that good, so I'm not going to go pick up the sequel. That's how they think. Mm-hmm. So in other words, put it in a space where you can have, like, look, we both know Titanfall 2 is fantastic, right? Campaign multiplayer is fantastic, but the buzz around it has been that it's not selling well, right? So if I'm hearing that, I'm not going to go pick it up, because I need to take that same money and go buy, I don't know, the Skyrim remaster, because I know I want to get that, or whatever other game, you know, that's out this holiday, versus picking up a game that I'm not hearing positive news about it, you know, because of the sales. So I think they'd have been better off putting both of these games out different time of the year, and, you know, they probably had a more positive result.
So yeah, like the thing I was talking to my brother, because we've been playing a lot of Titanfall 2 together. So this is what happened. So my brother he purchased Final Fantasy, the newest game, and also he purchased Titanfall 2. And guess which of the two he's been playing the most? And he's a hardcore Final Fantasy fan, like hardcore. He's been playing Titanfall 2. He played the first one. He was like, it's all right. But something about the game that got his attention, and he was telling me straight up, like, he likes Final Fantasy 15, but he's having a blast playing Titanfall 2. And I believe that a lot of people that haven't even tried the game, once they try it, they're going to be hooked, and they're going to play this nonstop. So I've been playing the game a lot lately with my brother and a lot of friends online and stuff. So I like it, man. I love the multiplayer, man. Love it, love it, love it. But here's one thing, too, that people don't know. I've been reading. I believe this came out right after the NPDs. Call of Duty, the latest Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare, I believe this one has sold 50% less than Black Ops. So the sales on that is dropping compared to like the previous games and stuff. So what are your thoughts about that, man?
It's fatigue, and this is something that Activision has suffered. Suffered from with some of their other IPs. I mean, look at Guitar Hero, even look at Skylanders now. It's too much coming every year, in my opinion. You know, we can even take this to Ubisoft, like with Assassin's Creed, where they're pumping them out every year, you know, and they've finally taken a break. They're not going to do it because even at 50% drop, it's still probably the number one selling game this holiday. But, you know, at some point, Call of Duty needs to take a break, so that people can actually be excited about it again. But they're not going to do that because we already know there's three studios working in tandem to pump these things out every year. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm not surprised by the sales numbers, but even like I said, at a 50% drop, it's still worth it to Activision to keep putting this thing out every year. And look, who knows? Maybe they do something radically different next year and re-energize the franchise. I doubt it because they're not going to mess with the current formula that they have. But I would love to see Call of Duty go away for 2 or 3 years and then just come back and completely reinvent itself.
Yeah, totally agree with that, man. All right, so we have a second voicemail. This is from Keon. Let's play right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope all is well for you guys. I hope your holidays are coming along and all of that shopping jazz. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to just make a quick comment on Paris's mini rant that he went on. Brother, my hat goes off to you. I applaud you. And I stand by what you said 100%. There are so many people in the media that all they care about is going to these different events just for the drinks and for the food, but could care less about the games that are actually being shown. It's just such a heartwarming, well, not an experience, but it's just heartwarming to hear, Paris, that you, along with Pete and Danny, still have a passion for gaming itself. And as you said, Paris, you respect the process. So for you guys to be in the position that you're in, to still be that humble and still feel very passionate about, you know, being able to be invited to these different events and experiencing things that so many other game players will never experience, it's just wonderful to hear. And that's why I will always continue to listen to you guys, because you guys have such a great attitude. With that being said, you guys take care and enjoy your holiday. If I don't talk to you guys by then, bye-bye.
Shout out to Keon. Paris, Keon always calls, man, so shout out to him. I think he's been calling the most this year, so shout out to him, man.
Yep, no doubt.
What are your thoughts, man, about the voicemail from Keon, man?
No, I mean, I appreciate what he said. Like I said, I went on my little mini rant at the end of the last episode just about, you know, the gaming media and our entitlement and our relationship, you know, with these publishers and the developers. And I mean, I stand by what I said. I don't think I told a lie. I mean, it's pretty much 100% the truth. I'll just add on to that and just say that I feel like, you know, if you have no interest in a game, like zero interest, and you want to complain like, God, why am I here? I'm just here to get the free drinks and the food. Then you shouldn't be going to that event. At all.
You shouldn't.
Yeah. And it's not about you need to love the game so you're going to give a positive review. Again, you can still be critical of a game. But if you're to the point, and we know plenty of people that are like this, that are just like, oh, God, why am I even here? I don't even want to be here for this game, blah, 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 blah. Why are you here then? Mm-hmm. Go find another job. Do something else. Why are you even in this industry then? The whole point of the gaming media industry is because we have a passion about this. We love this. Like, people love to give me so much crap because I'm on Xbox's tuchus about everything all the time, right? And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The reason why I am is because I freaking love Xbox and I want them to succeed. And that's what people don't seem to get through their heads. I'm so critical of Xbox because I want them to get back to the place that they were, which if you look over the past year or so, they're definitely getting back to there 100%. But just to go into my little history, the only reason I'm on this podcast right now, the only reason I've done anything that I've done in this industry is because of Xbox and the Xbox community. The fact that I was an Xbox MVP for what, God, 7 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. I've been behind the curtain. I know what the wizard looks like. That's why I'm so critical of things. But at the same time, I'm respectful of it. Aaron Greenberg, these guys, Phil Spencer, we talk to these guys. We've had all these people. Like, I have great relationships with the people at Microsoft. I always have. I always will. And like I said, they've said to me, keep on us. Stay on us. Don't let up. We like it when people tell us the things that we aren't doing right because we want to fix it. You know, and that's
and it motivates them big time too.
Exactly. And that's what people need to understand. There's a big difference between being a jaded, entitled media person who just could give two craps about whatever thing they're covering versus a salty, bitter old man like me who's critical of something because he actually has a passion for it. There is a big difference when it comes to that. And again, Keon, I appreciate leaving the voicemail on that. And my opinion on this will never change until someone proves me wrong. That's just the industry that we're in right now. And, you know, I've had conversations with some PR people offline and everything. I really think our current process should change from the way it is. I like I said, being able to cover Ghost Recon the way that we did, I really wish we were able to do things like that more versus the current model of the way we cover games now.
And this also happened many times throughout the years, but I think the last time we got to see, you know, some journalists acting kind of during that event, I believe it was in March or April, Paris, that you went to an event for Xbox. I think that's when they were started promoting the PC/Xbox One at an event. I think you got a chance to play. Was it Minecraft and other games too?
Mm-hmm. That's first time doing VR. Yep, it was Minecraft.
Yeah, and was that also? I believe there was someone there, same exact situation. That they looked like they were just bored at the event.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I see it all the time. Hell, when I was at one of the Watch Dogs 2 events, same thing. It was like, oh God, why am I even here? And it's like, yeah, why are you here then? Go home. You know what I mean? Why are you covering this game? It's the same thing. Look, I'll take it way back because the statute of limitations at this point, I'll just call it out. So back in 2007, I went to Infinity Ward and they were showing off this new Call of Duty game, which again blows my mind that it was Call of Duty 4. And I just didn't realize in the moment what I was seeing. But I went to this event to go see Call of Duty 4 at Infinity Ward, and Gamer Andy was with us. I'll say his name. I don't care. And
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And literally turned to Robert Bowling and at the time Jason West and Vince Zampella. And it turns out we weren't getting hands on. They were just showing off the multiplayer. Again, what the multiplayer just changed the complete game of you know, with Call of Duty 4, right? They were showing us this multiplayer, but it wasn't hands on. Gamer Andy turned to Robert Bowling, Jason West, and Vince Zampella and said, if I knew there wasn't going to be hands-on, I wouldn't have even gotten on the plane. Right to their face. And look, my mouth hit the floor. I was like, oh. And again, you know, I'm new in all this stuff. So I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know you could talk to people like this. This is crazy. And I just remember the look Vince Zampella gave him, like, dude, why are you even freaking here? Why did? Because think about it. Activision spent the money to fly him to this event, and he didn't appreciate it. He was disrespectful to it. And this goes back to my rant last week. There are so many examples of that. That was the first time I ever saw it, and I've been seeing it ever since, right? And it's like, wow, they invited you to their studio to show off something that was going to change the gaming industry with this revolutionary multiplayer, and you couldn't even appreciate it because you didn't get a chance to play it at the time. You know, those are the, and look, he's been crickets ever since when it comes to stuff. I don't think he ever got invited to an event again. But the point remains, you got to be respectful of the process, man. You know, just because, like, I didn't get hands on with Ghost Recon and I went to Europe. Am I complaining about it? No, because I know eventually I will. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like look, they have a method to their madness. Right now wasn't the time for me to have hands on with Ghost Recon. Eventually I will. And I'll be able to talk about it, whether I like it or not. And I think that goes back to what I'm saying about just a sense of entitlement where people expect they're going to roll out the red carpet and give you the world day one. And you have zero patience to follow what what their development studio wants to do. And that, to me, and again, I'm just a grumpy old man, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But just from my point of view, I just find it highly disrespectful. And I really wish this whole process could change.
No, I agree with you, Paris. I think that by being that way, you know, why I haven't had no hands on and complaining, all this stuff. I find that like so tacky. You know, and we've been doing this now for a very, very long time. And, you know, just getting an opportunity to visit the studio and get to see behind the scenes, I think that it's cool because we see how it is behind the scenes that we never seen it probably like in person. Because, you know, it is, we probably will read like stuff online and then it's like rumors and all that stuff. But actually seeing it face to face, I love that, man. And at the same time, we get to sit down and talk to the developers, and we can also ask questions that maybe will get us an idea, like how they came up with the idea of the game, or how was it working together as a team. And we'll learn from that too, and we could share that story if we're allowed to our listeners, and maybe they'll help us to inspire other people to become developers or marketing people or PR, et cetera, you know? So I don't know. I just find the whole thing very, very tacky when people that get these opportunities and they really don't appreciate that, man. You know, so.
All right. So I got this email from Keith, and he says, "Hey, guys, listen to your show with the interview with Ubisoft. I have a question since you guys have seen them up close and personal. Ubisoft single-handed has some of the most diverse games stemming from one company. However, I do not think that one great game. But I do not think they make one great game. Apologies. Only good games, but nothing great. They are the embodiment of jack of all trades, master of none. Do you think they spread themselves too thin and they should take one franchise and perfect it? Could Watch Dogs be bigger than Grand Theft Auto if they truly wanted it to be?" And then he says, "P.S. Super Mario World destroys Super Mario Brothers 3. See, I just read that, Keith, because I always said I would never read another one of your emails. You're talking trash about the greatest game ever made, Super Mario 3. But this is a good one. And look, we still need to do a deadlift contest or something. I've seen the pictures, bro. But all jokes aside. This is actually a great question about Ubisoft, because it's funny. I kind of think the same thing. Whereas Ubisoft is needed in this industry because they do take a lot of risks. And that's something I always applaud that publisher for. They do have a diversity of games from that publisher. And I appreciate it. Like, look at Watch Dogs, look at Ghost Recon, look at Assassin's Creed, look at Splinter Cell, look at Steep, which just came out, things like that. They have this vast portfolio, but I agree that maybe they do spread themselves too thin. Like, I do wonder if they took something like Watch Dogs, and instead of pumping out Watch Dogs 2 with 2 years after the first one, they took 4 or 5 years like Rockstar does. And they came out with a Watch Dogs 2. Could it rival Grand Theft Auto? I think so. And the reason I say that is, even Watch Dogs 2 itself, and I said it when I did a review of the game, this is about as close as you're going to get to Grand Theft Auto 5 without it being Grand Theft Auto 5. You know, that world that they put of San Francisco is very diverse. It feels like a living, breathing world. And obviously all the hacking stuff that goes along with that. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the story, but I know a lot of people were. So it's like he's saying, it's good, but it's not great. Ghost Recon, from what I've seen so far, it looks good, but will it be great? I don't know. You know, look at the past few Assassin's Creed that have come out. You know, like Black Flag was good, but it wasn't great. The couple after that were a little subpar, and they smartly decided, let's pump the brakes on Assassin's Creed, let's get it right. So maybe this is Ubisoft realizing, let's not run our major IPs into the ground, that if we do put one of them out, we want it to be great and not simply just good. Like I brought Splinter Cell. Yeah, Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby, and I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
I think they're gonna announce a Splinter Cell at E3 this year. I really think they're gonna come out with another Splinter Cell, and I hope they announce it, but it's still a couple years before it actually comes out. You know what I mean? Like, I want Splinter Cell to be fantastic again. I want that Pandora Tomorrow Chaos Theory era of Splinter Cell to come back when it was just such a fantastic IP. So to go to what he's saying, yeah, I agree with you. They make some good games, but I really would love to see that publisher start making some great games, and maybe that will require them to kind of pump the brake. Like again, For Honor. We know For Honor is coming out. There was actually an event for For Honor. We weren't able to attend it, but that's coming out in February. And, you know, from what I played of it at E3, it's a lot of fun. But is this something, again, I don't know because we got to play it more. But is this something 6 months after launch I'm still going to want to play? Or is it something I'll blow through the campaign and check out the multiplayer every now and again? Again, going to what Keith is saying, it's good, but it's not great. You know, so we'll see. What do you think about this?
For example, For Honor, I see this as a game for me, but is it something that is going to get everybody's attention? That's the tricky part. You know, like, I give you a perfect example. Far Cry Primal, love the game. The game was amazing. Was a lot of fun. But how many people out there really actually play the game? I don't know. I just feel that, like you said, it's all these games are good, but is it great? But let's compare to, like, let's say Splinter Cell. Remember when Splinter Cell first came out for the original Xbox? That was like mind blowing. Everybody was talking about it. That was an amazing game. I would like to see those type of games like that, game changers in the future, for Ubisoft. You know, we haven't seen something like that in a very, very long time from them, from the company. So same thing when the first time we got to play Ghost Recon or Rainbow Six back in the days. Those were game changers. And that's what I would like to see in the future with Ubisoft. Don't you agree with that?
No, of course. Absolutely.
Hmm. Okay. But here's another email. This is going to be the last one because we want to wrap it up. Hey, GTR, call from Texas here. I recently bought a pre-built gaming PC. It's the MSI Aegis, and it's upgrade friendly, and it has the i7-6700 with 16 gigabytes of GDDR4 RAM and a GTX 1080 with 8 gigabyte GDDR5. Wow, that's a lot of that's all right. According to several YouTubers, this setup should get 60 frames per second in a 4K resolution. My Skyrim Special Edition performs well. It stays above 50 FPS typically. But my Fallout 4 and Horizon 3, great games by the way, are between 30 to 40 FPS. I do not have a liquid cooler yet, but even with a small overclock of 150 megahertz core and 200 megahertz memory, my temperatures do not hit 80 Celsius. Wow. A lot of
this is PC lingo.
Yeah, this is too much PC. All right. Temperatures do not hit 80 Celsius often. I'm so new to the PC games, so I can't help but wonder, am I overlooking really basic, or am I just overestimating this particular rig? Thanks, guys. And Paris, what do you think? This is like PC lingo for me. This is too much for me.
I know. Something about this is off because technically your rig is more powerful than mine. I mean, you have a 6700 CPU, which I have the 4670K or whatever. And I have 16 gigs of RAM, but it's DDR3. It's not DDR4. And we have the same GPU at the 1080. I know Fallout 4, I'm hitting 4K 60. On it. Forza Horizon 3, he's right. I'm more between 55 and 60 versus 30-40. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't have Skyrim, so I can't comment on that one. Actually, I do have Skyrim. I've just not played it, but I have the old version. I don't know if the special edition is different or not. I would check that all my drivers are up to date. That would be the first thing, because like you said, your temps, I don't hit high temps either on mine. Like Gears of War 4, I'm hitting 60 frames. Like Witcher 3, if I go full ultra 4K, I don't hit 60. I'm usually in the 50s, so I have to kind of down res a few things if I want to hit 60 in like The Witcher 3. But that's kind of like the high benchmark for, you know, what we're trying to do with the rig that you have. But Yeah, I would check drivers because you should definitely be getting closer to 60 than what you're currently seeing with those particular games. So, but yeah, you got a beast of a rig. You're fine. The only thing I can think of is you got a pre-built machine. You didn't build it yourself. I don't know what type of motherboard they're using, things like that. So just kind of make sure BIOS, that's up to date. Just all your drivers and settings are up to date on the machine, you know, on the hardware side, on the OS side, etc. Obviously your GPU, you want to make sure you got the latest NVIDIA drivers, all that stuff. But this is a monster rig. You should be fine. You really should be. Matter of fact, I'll even say this. It's not out yet, but the 1080 Ti is probably going to come out soon. I'm kind of thinking about upgrading again. I know it's crazy.
Again, Paris?
I know it's crazy.
Why? Why?
Power. More power.
You guys are never happy. You guys are never satisfied. Nope. I want more power. More power.
But that's part of the whole hobby of PC gaming and building your own rig is, yeah, you're always chasing more power. You're always doing it. I admit it. Ultimately, should I get a Ti? Probably not. But will I? 50-50. I ain't gonna lie. 50-50. I might get one. I don't know.
What's the price on that?
I'm assuming it's probably gonna wind up being $700 or $800 when it comes out. Because they're talking at announcing it at CES. So we should hear something next month.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks everybody that have been sending us voicemails and emails. Please continue. And the thing is too, this Thursday is gonna be our last episode for this year, and we're gonna be taking a nice little vacation. It's been 2 years we haven't taken a vacation like this, so I think we need it, Paris. We need this big time, man. And you know, it's not easy releasing two episodes every single week. Yeah, man, we're gonna do that, and we're gonna come back on, I believe, January 9th, and that's like a couple of days right before the whole Nintendo press conference live from Japan. So this, like, I think it's like a perfect timing. Perfect timing. So what are you going to be doing, Paris, during that time that we're taking off, man?
None of your business. That's what I'm going to be doing. Don't you worry about it.
Wow. There you go, guys.
Honestly, all jokes aside, I'm just diving in my back catalog and just start playing. Like Battlefield 1, I need to jump into that. So by the time we come back, I'll definitely be finished Battlefield 1 and there's a couple other games I want to play. I'm going to start The Witcher 3 all over again. I know I'm going to do that too.
Snap. Yeah, I'm probably going to do the same with Battlefield 1. And right now, I'm playing nonstop Titanfall 2. I just finished Dead Rising 4. I'm going to try to pass it again. But this time, I'm going to start collecting a lot more items and stuff. So I'm going to be doing that. I might give Final Fantasy 15 a chance. We'll see. My brother's probably going to lend me the game. I'm going to try it out very quick. So, but yeah, I think P is going to be doing the same thing too, man. Playing the back catalog, man. It's a lot of games that has been coming out. All right. So yeah, send us your voicemails, emails, all that. We'll definitely play on a future episode of Gamertag Radio. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. And you also can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And remember, you could also join our club or our community. Go to either PSN or Xbox Live and search for Gamertag Radio. Hopefully you'll see us online. We probably could play some games. Definitely. And that's about it. Until next time. And remember, this Thursday, Game of the Year episode. We have a couple surprises on that. So stay tuned. Paris, anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.